And I'd like to welcome my first guest to this morning's programme, and it's Senator Mary White. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Leslie.
You're very welcome to Lifeline, and a very, very interesting topic as well that we're going to speak about, and it's you're launching a campaign. Well, it's a talk as well, and it's about how should we respond to the suicide crisis, and that's a public event that's going to be held next Friday, the 26th. Mary, do you want to start off telling us a little bit about the drive behind this campaign?
Well, number one, Leslie, I am a policy-driven senator, and I, over the number of years since I was elected to the Senate, first in 2002 and been re-elected twice to the Senate, I have produced policy papers on childcare, ageing and ageism, women entrepreneurships, and on what we can do about suicide in the New Ireland. Mm-hmm. And these are very important issues to all local communities in Ireland. And we're talking this minute about Dublin and your area. You're Coolock, aren't you?
Yes,
Leslie?
Yeah, we are. Yeah. We're based in Coolock, that's right. Yeah.
Excellent, a great station.
Thanks.
And so I'm having three public meetings in the Dublin Rathdown area, which is, it was the old Dublin South. And it's made up of three electoral areas, Glencullen, Sandyford, Dundrum, and Mount Merion.
Yeah.
Now, I'm having three public meetings on three very key social issues. How do we respond to the suicide crisis? That's on Friday week in the Sandyford Community Centre in Lamb's Cross in Sandyford. And that's my first one. And I have superb speakers in attendance. I have, number one, Dr. John Hillary. He's actually the son of our former president, Dr. Hillary.
Oh, lovely.
And his mother, Dr. Maeve Hillary, has just celebrated her 90th birthday. So I'd like to take the opportunity to wish Maeve a very happy birthday.
Oh, very happy birthday, Maeve. Indeed. Yeah. 90, that's a milestone.
It is a milestone. 90 is a milestone, exactly.
Yeah.
And we should all be aspiring to be 100 now. I think all of us should be at this stage.
I agree with you completely, Mary.
Yeah. Now, Dr. John Hillary is a consultant psychiatrist at Stuart's Hospital and St. John of God. And he has a particular interest in the area of resilience, of advising people how, when they face life's difficulties and adversity, that they will develop resilience skills, how to cope.
Mm-hmm.
And also he'll talk about the implications of suicide prevention.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Dr. Hillary speaks, he has an extraordinary empathy for his audience, and he's a very kind person, and he understands the difficulties that people have with mental problems and suicidal problems, and all, you know, for anybody who has a mental problem, and for parents and children and friends of people who feel depressed, and how the friends should even react.
Yeah.
And then I also have Professor Ella Arnsman. She's director of the National Suicide Research Foundation in Cork, and she's also president of the International Association for Suicide Prevention. And she will explore the risk factors associated with suicidal crisis and present evidence-based approaches to responding to suicide. So I have top-notch professional people who understand what they're talking about who have very kindly agreed to come to the event.
And for free too?
It's a public forum for free, exactly. Yeah. I'm glad you said that now.
Yeah. Giving up their services for free and their professional opinions.
Exactly.
Helping people. It's saving lives. They're saving lives.
Well, that's a very good point now, Les. They're saving.
Yeah.
This event is to help people to save lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be achieved, Leslie.
Yeah.
You know, it can be achieved. We can save lives by opening up the whole issue of mental illness. And now I think people are definitely talking more if they are professional. I met a gentleman yesterday who I kind of know. I knew his wife better, and he actually spontaneously told me that he tried to kill himself three times last year.
Dear Lord.
So, you know, people are now, thanks be to God, opening up. And I do think if people can talk about their problems, and not to be afraid of the whole, no, we haven't got rid of the stigma of mental illness yet, but I think we are making progress. People are now talking openly about it, because we have to wake up and talk about it, because it should be treated as any other physical illness.
Yes. I
and that goes back to schools and parents and education. Like, it's ignorance to be so critical of a human being who may suffer from mental stress. You know, it's awful. I find it repulsive, actually, because a lot of the most brilliant people in the world have suffered from depression.
Yeah, well, we've seen there, we lost Robin Williams a while ago. And like that, the stigma, I think that it's a very slow process. Personally, the stigma, it's a very, very slow process. Known people that are suffering from depression, it is changing. But that snap out of it attitude is still there, and it needs to be changed. People need to realise that people that are depressed, they're sick. It's not, somebody said this to me.
Not that they're lazy or they can't pull themselves together. Like the old thing, you know, pull yourself together or they're lazy. It's complete ignorance.
I was talking to somebody about it yesterday because I was discussing it with a friend of mine that we were speaking to you, and you know what she said? Something very, very valid. And if you were in hospital and you have a broken arm or a broken foot or whatever, you can be treated for that, and they're going to fix you. For depression, you can't be fixed that easy. And medication can only go so far. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there and they are getting help, Mary, and they're turning around and saying, I don't care what you say. Really, because I'm still going to do it, because they premeditate it, and it's these people that we're trying to reach out to, and these are the ones that we need to get through to, because they have it in their heads, and it's so sad, but it is working.
Well,
it is working.
I agree with you on that, but I have to say that I think alcohol has, most people who die from suicide have alcohol, they have alcohol in their blood when the autopsy is done, and we have to get that in perspective. That we are too casual about how we drink, and we have to treat alcohol with a long spoon. It's a very, very serious drug.
Yes.
That's number one. And secondly, I passionately believe it's far too cheap. It's far too cheap altogether. Mm-hmm. Like, a bottle of gin is about 25 or 30 euro, and young people buying it between them, sure, it's for nothing.
Yeah.
So it should be 100 euro for that. And there are too many outlets also. You know, at this stage in the country, we've too much. It's like having a cup of tea, like, or buying a packet of tea. There's so much alcohol available all over the place. And the danger is that if a person is depressed, and to soothe their minds and their hearts and souls, they take a drink and they feel a bit better. But then if they drink more, they feel they can't use their brain. If they're feeling depressed, they can't talk themselves out of killing themselves or self-harming.
Yeah.
And the other issue is about the self-harm. About one of the lady, Professor Ella Arnsman, who's coming to speak, she draws the analogy with an iceberg, say, in the water. And if you think of the Titanic, we all know that the iceberg who hit the Titanic only looked a little bit above the water, right?
Yeah.
But underneath there was a big, huge piece of ice that hit the lower part of the boat, the ship, under the water.
Yeah.
Now, what she's saying is, her stats are, statistics on this are, 550 people a year die from suicide. 12,000 turn up at A&E after self-harming, which is an indication of suicide, wanting to die from suicide.
Yes.
But underneath the iceberg, underneath the water, there's 60,000 people on average that try to harm themselves every year. Point I'm making is that the self-harming is an indication of wanting to hurt themselves, to die, but we have to stop, we have to put a halt to it, right? And I go back to what you said, there's fantastic modern medication for people who are depressed.
Yeah.
Would it be 50 years ago even if somebody got depressed or locked up?
I know, it's terrible,
isn't
it?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's disgusting, actually, when you think about it.
Such a
you never got a chance to get better.
No, you didn't. It's such a and I think there was a lot more shock treatment used in those days as well.
And then, do you remember the other one? Was it lobotomy, they called it that day? One of President Kennedy's sisters who suffered from depression, they did that. I think they bore in through your forehead and try and interfere with your brain, and then they make you just nearly
numb.
You're not the human being you were before.
Exactly.
It's because they've touched your brain. So there were all these brutal ways, like locking people up for life, ignored. Then they, as you said, the electric shock. And then they Now, there is school of thought, I think, that in some cases electroshock can still work. I don't know. But well, certainly the brutality of the lobotomy going into your brain from your forehead.
That's horrendous.
For God's sake, that was primitive. Yeah.
But you know something, Mary? I was looking at a movie there a couple of weeks ago, and it's called Helen. And it was about a woman, and she had the best of a life. Beautiful family, beautiful house.
Yeah.
She was a teacher, everything going for her. And it was based on a true story. And she got better in the end. And it was shock treatment that she got. And I know a few people that died by suicide, and they did used to talk about shock treatment. I suppose it kind of jumps the brain cells. I don't really know enough about it to talk about it, but it's not uncommon for people who are really, really depressed and who analyse their depression, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you that the drinking has a lot to do with it as well, and the chemical reaction that has in the brain, it's stopping you. If you were sober, you'd say to yourself, come on now, you will pull it, and you'd cry probably and ring
and
someone.
You would try and talk to somebody and say, true to God, there's somebody in the world that you can speak to, or ring up and say, well, the Samaritans is there, that's what they're there for.
Yeah, exactly.
They're listeners, and...
It's just so hard to tell people the right thing.
I'll get you the number for Samaritans now, and it's in the back of my book there.
Oh, you're very good, Mary.
That number up, because they are a listening service.
Yeah.
They're a listening service.
I think it's a great event that you're running, and especially the fact that it's in the evening, it's on a Friday, and there's probably, I would urge anybody that's out there, I know we're on the north side here, and it is being it's being held in Sandyford, but it's a free event. There's professionals going to be there on hand to talk to you, to help you. Sometimes, you know, going out of your area, it could be a better thing. That could be a better thing. That's what people could be listening to this broadcast that are living in the local catchment area here and say to themselves, oh, I'm not going down to Derrindale, or I'm not going over to Coolock or Beaumont, or whatever the case may be.
If people come together in their car, in a car, like if three or four people come together and if they introduce themselves to me that you're people out there, that I look after them and speak to them and introduce them. Like, it is, we can do something about this.
Yeah.
You know, suicide can be preventable. And it's very interesting, Leslie, as well. The World Health Organization launched a report last week, Suicide Prevention.
Mm-hmm.
And the rate of suicide, the rate now, not the actual gross numbers, the rate of suicide is higher among older people. Now, all the talk is about young people dying from suicide, which is terrible tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. But it's higher, the rate is higher for older people.
Yeah. Pressure. And
A lot of this is social isolation, Leslie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? On their own, their partner may have died, and they may take to drink.
Yes.
And as I said earlier, the drink dilutes their cognitive ability. They can't talk themselves out of it. That is a worldwide statistic.
Mary, I just think it's a fantastic event, and I just feel, I just want to say it again there, that if there are, or anywhere for that matter, people online that are listening as well, if you're not in the area, maybe this is a good thing that we've come across, that's something that's been held outside of our local area, because people mightn't want to bump into people, and that might, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like you said, you're going to be holding these talks again on the north side in the coming future.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Mary, fair play to you. And I really, really think that yourself and your colleagues are doing a fantastic job, and the speakers that you have there.
I'm just trying to get the number for you, Leslie, on the Samaritans.
Ah, thanks. The event is free, and you have a lot of professional people there. And if there are people,
Top people who are so experienced. Exactly.
Now, Mary, I have the number for the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, what is it?
You were right, Mary. You were right. 116123, and that's really easy.
Yeah. Well, we say it again.
It's 116123.
123.
Yeah.
116. And the Samaritans are listening. They're manned by volunteers. It's an outstanding organisation. It's manned by volunteers, and nobody will criticise you or say that you're, you know, that you're, um, that you, you know, that you they won't say pull yourself together, or, they're kindly listening people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mary, there's another little thing that we should just mention. People, anybody out there at a loose end that is suffering from depression and feeling unwell in themselves, because they are unwell, volunteering is a fantastic way to stimulate the mind and to distract yourself, because in a lot of cases, a distraction is all that's needed.
So, well, that's true. Well, that's if you're not terribly bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, if you are very, very seriously depressed, you need medical help, and you need medication. I mean, Irish people are quite conservative about taking medication for when they're depressed. But I think the modern medication is amazing.
Yes.
And people shouldn't be shy or feel guilty. Oh, I shouldn't be taking this or that or whatever. They need medical help, somebody to listen to them, a GP or a doctor to listen to them, and medication. When they're extremely, that's when people are very, very bad.
Yeah.
But they shouldn't be shy about talking up.
No, they shouldn't be.
You know what I mean? And seeking help and talk to somebody.
Yeah. Mary, it was absolutely a pleasure to speak to you this morning. And just before I let you go, Mary, give us one message that you have for the listeners here this morning on Lifeline.
Well, if a person is depressed, my message to you is talk to a friend and tell the friend how badly you're feeling. Don't be afraid to tell somebody. Nobody will criticise you. And everybody in life gets trials. There's nobody that's immune from feeling bad at times.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important that you talk it over with somebody so that you understand it's normal to feel bad.
Yeah.
But if you're very bad, you have to get medical help, somebody to listen to you, and medication. And
exactly.
I'm a lay person, I'm not a doctor, but that's what I feel very strongly about.
Well, Mary, I think you have the right attitude there, and it's great to see that there are people out there in the job that you're doing, and as a senator, bringing this, highlighting something like this, and bringing this a free event that people can get help, and you're saving lives. And thank you so much.
Yeah.
Continuing success to yourself in all of your work that you're doing, and thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Leslie. You're a star, Leslie.
So are you, Mary. You're saving lives, and I really do wish you continuing success in the future. And
okay.
I have to say, by the way, Mary, you're looking very well. The new hairstyle is lovely.
Where'd you see me?
I seen you on Facebook.
I go away.
I was stalking you. You do. It's lovely. You really look great. You do. And
thanks very much. Thank you. Well, I feel good.
Good for you. And let's hope that that's going to be a domino effect and other people can feel good from the work that you're putting out there. Thank you so much, Mary.
Yeah. Okay, Leslie. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. And that was Senator Mary White, and how should we respond to the suicide crisis? And I will be giving those numbers out at the end of the programme. We just have to run in a little bit over 10 o'clock there. So back in a mo after a quick break.
Your 24-hour community station.
867 1190.
Near FM.